Steve Wood now joining me in the studio to talk about how to grow your own organic microgreens. And we'll sneak in a few texts before 3 o'clock. Lots have come through. After the 3 o'clock news, you can call in 1-300-222-720 and make your calls and texts nice and early so we get to as many of them as we can. Hello to you.
Hi, Gillian.
What have you brought in? This is so cute.
Look, this is one of my favourite subjects to have a little chat about because, well, everyone loves to grow just a little bit of their own food at home.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real thrill with that, bringing something into the kitchen. But when we start talking about microgreens, and in particular, this particular variety we've got here today, these are broccoli microgreens. And when you think that broccoli is one of the most nutritious food sources known to man, one of the reasons for that is that they contain some wonderful, wonderful antioxidants called sulforaphane. And there's a lady on YouTube, an American doctor, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who's done a huge amount of research on the medical benefits of sulforaphane and its healing properties to the human body.
Yeah.
And its sustaining peak health as well. So they're found in cruciferous vegetables. Broccoli, they're at their highest. Broccoli microgreens, they're 100 times higher still than broccoli itself.
So it's like almost a little vitamin pill of broccoli goodness.
The absolute maximum and best that you can get.
I don't even get how they work. So listeners, it almost looks like a pot of dichondra with slightly longer stems on it.
Yeah.
And they're tiny, so they look very pretty in a salad, I imagine, but I just don't understand how they work. Are all of these like, is that one little tiny
seed
bonsai broccoli plant?
So what they are, Jill, is that what we've done here is we've taken a small pot, we've got a 4-inch pot, and you can put any soil that you want in there, but the soil that we choose to use is the coir or cocoa peat, which is an organic renewable resource. It's a byproduct of coconut production.
Yeah.
It's incredibly cheap and it's beautiful and clean and it's fantastic for raising seeds. So in that pot, there's around about 10 cents worth of coir peat. What we've done is sprinkled on top of there 1 gram of broccoli seeds.
Just normal broccoli seeds.
Any broccoli seeds is absolutely fine. So in 1 gram, we're looking at about 350 seeds approximately. And the cost of that, so a kilo of broccoli seeds, let's say 1,000 grams is $100. So there's basically 10 cents worth of broccoli seeds in that pot and 10 cents worth of coir.
So pot's about the size, like the circumference of a big orange, I would say.
Yeah, 10 centimetres, yeah.
Yeah.
So these particular plants are now, this is 7 days from sowing the seed.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're at their peak sulforaphane content level. So this, at 7 to 10 days is peak goodness, you know. The gorgeous thing about these is that you can pick that little pot up, bring it inside, snip it with the scissors, you get this handful of beautiful organic greens because they've never seen a chemical. They've never seen artificial fertilizer. They've never seen a chemical spray. They've been growing in organic soil. And the time between harvesting and consuming can be literally minutes if you're putting them into a salad or into a sandwich. If you're putting them into, say, a soup or a stir fry or something like
that. Why would you put them into a soup, though? Because they're so pretty. They're just
They are gorgeous. And the flavor, which you can probably attest to right now. Is so quite often what happens, there might be members of the family that aren't big fans of broccoli and yet you want to get the maximum goodness into the kids or into the hubby or in whatever the partner, whoever it might be. Yet as microgreens, they don't taste like broccoli, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm trying to think of it's got a very, very faint, it's very, so not bitter at all. It's got a very, very...
It's just a mild, it's almost lettucey.
Yeah, it is almost lettucey.
So very basic in its flavour, but incredibly powerful in its nutritional content. In fact, the most nutritional thing that we can possibly grow.
I ever thought pepper had a flavour that was not peppery at all, no pepper, no spice to it, but just the actual flavour, it's a bit of that too. They're delicious.
So imagine if you're living in a tiny little apartment, you know, 10th floor, tiny balcony, whatever, that sort of thing. You've got no excuse not to have a beautiful fresh supply of the most clean, organic greens to go with any meal that you wish to prepare, healthiest food possible, because organic food's expensive, and it's expensive for a good reason. When you're having to manually weed and you're having to enrich the soil with organic, natural organic material to grow your food in, there's a lot of work goes, and also natural pest management as well. The costs are high, and it's represented in the cost of organic food. But when you can produce a pot of beautiful, fresh organic produce for 20 cents and introduce it into any meal that anyone in the family will joyfully eat and most likely probably not even know it's in there.
Yeah, but how pretty on a salad as well.
And pretty on a salad. Then to me, they're just sort of like a no-brainer. It's just about people needing to know how simple and easy they are to grow. So what we do with these is that we put the sprinkle the seed on top of the pot, cover it with a tiny little bit of extra coir peat, not much. You know, I'm talking a mil.
Yeah.
We water it in with an organic plant food. So there's a number of liquid organic plant foods that are made from fish and seaweed out there. Give them one feed of that.
Yeah.
And then we water them each day during the week. On about the fifth or sixth day, another watering with a liquid organic plant food, and ready to harvest from about day 8 to 10 onwards.
So have I just eaten liquid fertiliser then?
No, no. The liquid feed we use is fish and seaweed. So, and of course the next watering after that, that's all washed off. And so they're incredibly clean and fresh and no negatives associated with them.
So even if I did, it wouldn't kill me. So if I snip those, will they grow again from that, or is that
it? That's a really, really great question. I choose not to, because what you're left with the pot with the coir peat that you've grown them in is the perfect medium to put into your worm farm, into your compost bin, into the chooks, or just tip it straight on the garden, or put it into an empty pot. So have a larger empty pot, and each one that you empty out, fill the pot with that, because you're filling it with one of the best soil or potting mixes that you can come across. This is what all commercial growers who grow in greenhouses and tunnel houses all around the world, this is a product they use, because it's a byproduct. It's incredibly cheap, it's renewable, it's organic, it's clean, it holds nutrition, holds moisture, it's just a beautiful product. You buy it in compressed bricks that are dry, and you rehydrate it in a bucket or a wheelbarrow or something like that, and you use it and just use it straight. But you've got to look for the potting mix grade or the soil grade. Your broccoli seeds and any microgreen seeds. So we can be talking about growing things like coriander, parsley, dill,
basil. Let me get those little leaves off your list.
thyme, fresh lettuce, that type of thing. Yes, you can. So the lettuce you harvested around about 20 days, but you'll sow, you know, 50 or 60 lettuce seeds in it, once again, little 100ml, 4-inch pot, and let them all sprout up, and then go and harvest a beautiful salad, you know, from that.
Tiny little leaves.
Yes, and they're fresh and clean. And
how the kids would just love that. We've got like a doll's house salad.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got a trestle table on a veranda, all of a sudden they're off the little pots are off the ground. So there's no, you know, dogs or rabbits or whatever, kids or, you know, tackling them. And you just needed the tiniest space to produce the cleanest, healthiest, freshest food that you can probably get hold of. Now, you do need to really source the seed to make it really commercial, really viable from a commercial seed supplier. But these days, going online and typing in, you know, microgreen seeds or just broccoli seeds or whatever the case may be, or any of your favourite herbs or lots of the salad greens that you can grow the same way. There's lots of suppliers out there who gladly, you know, post them to you. And it's so simple to get hold of bulk seed.
Lovely. So do you grow them the same? I mean, apart from all of that, is it the same conditions as in, you know, you'd grow your basil in summer and your parsley, would that
There's a slight advantage because if you try and grow coriander as a plant in summer, it'll drive you crazy. It'll go to seeds. It'll go to seed so very, very quickly, you know. Whereas if you sow a pot of coriander seed, so you might put, once again, 200 or 300 seeds in a tiny little pot and let them come up like hairs on a dog's back, you know.
Yeah.
And then at 10 to 12 days, harvest those to put into your favourite dish that just has to have coriander in it.
Yeah.
You can grow, in other words, you can grow your herbs out of season really easily because you're only taking them through to that sort of 10 to 12, 14 day range.
This is exciting news, garden lovers. I'm going to try that. How wonderful.
It's so fun. So I'd encourage everyone to have a try. And you know, there's a lot of people that are actively sourcing organic food. It might be for various health reasons or conditions. And this is a very safe and positive alternative.